Good morning to everybody today. I'm always surprised. Thank you very much, worship team. I'm always surprised, you know, how many new people that I see in church, and it's great. So I'm aware that some people may not know who I am. I'm Mark Collins, and I'm part of the oversight team, part of the eldership team, and that absolutely stunning woman on the keyboards is my wife, and woo. And you know, we spend part of our time. Sometimes we're out in the nation New Zealand ministering, and then also particularly in the nations of the Philippines. And the Philippines is where I grew up, and because my parents were missionaries there, so I've certainly had a different background. So magandang hapon, sayon lahat. That means good morning, everybody. So can we please take up the giving now? If those people can collect the giving. And thank you for giving today. There are different ways you can give, and you'll see that up there. Turn to somebody. Say, God loves a cheerful giver. So you need to laugh and preach. I actually look forward. One day I think I'll do it. I think we'll sing an awesome praise song while we take up the giving. Because giving is meant to be a cheerful thing, isn't it? Woo! So have a laugh, have a giggle. All right. So this morning, I want to talk about a message which I believe is for some here today, many actually, and that is how to get through a difficult season. How many want to know how to get through a difficult season? But this is not going to be one of those depressing messages, you know. This is a message of hope, of faith. It may sound corny, but I believe the best is yet to come. It really is. You don't sound convinced. A glorious days are ahead. Absolutely glorious days. And God is doing great things now too also. Now, at the moment. How to get through a difficult season. Some here, you're in a difficult season. And so I want to teach about how to get through that season and into the next season. What does the next season look like? Well, I'm glad you asked. I just happen to have a couple of books here that I've written that you can get out in the foyer. Just a brief commercial break. And but these books talk about what the next season is going to be like, I believe. And one of the books is called Elevation, Preparing for a Powerful Season of Increase. Woo! And let me just read the back here to you. The writing of Elevation was started in 2020 when the COVID was breaking out all over the world. Surprisingly, the principles contained in it were being illustrated by the very events that were occurring. The church and the world were experiencing a dramatic and unforeseen downward spiral, which many ministries, churches, and businesses and Christians being tested as never before. However, these events are the same factors that lead to Elevation, and God was using them to prepare His church for an extraordinary season of power, fruitfulness, and increase in Elevation. So that's our future, I believe. And then the other book is A New Outpouring, What It Looks Like and How It Will Impact Our Lives. And this is what I believe the next move of God is going to be like. So you can get those two books out there. There'll be a bit of a lineup, but that's okay. I said it by faith. So that's what the next season, that's where we're pressing through. Yes, we some of you and perhaps many of you here are going through, I believe many in the earth and the church are going through, even the world is going through a difficult season. But there's we can be encouraged because there's something great that's on the other side. We don't have to be downcast. Because the Word of God in hard seasons, because the Word of God always gives us that hope of the future, that God is working all things together for good to those who love Him and are called according to His purposes. So here we go. Number one, prayer. Prayer is about praying for people and situations. Yes. But prayer is much more than this. It's about worshiping God, soaking in His presence, pouring our heart to Him, talking to Him, and Him talking to us, studying the Bible. In the mechanics of prayer, we must never forget that prayer is firstly about a relationship with our Heavenly Father. We must never forget that. Because out of that relationship and intimacy with God, with our Father, everything flows. Every great man and woman of God in the Bible who did great things, it all flowed out of a relationship with God. There are two ways we can pray. You might have thought there were more, but there are two ways we can pray. There is planned and unplanned. Planned, I'm just laying a foundation of prayer first and I'll get to what I want to say this morning. But planned is where we schedule time during the week to pray. A lot of preachers, ministries talk about that, but they don't talk a lot about unplanned prayer, which is just as important. Unplanned prayer is spontaneous. We might be driving in the car, and we put on some worship, and then the presence of God fills the car. Or somebody may text us and say, pray for so-and-so. Or we might be in a business meeting and with our boss, in a meeting with our boss, and things aren't going too well, and so we cry out to God in our heart, hopefully not out loud, help God! You know, Jesus had both planned and unplanned prayer. There were times where He scheduled prayer, you know, where He would, in the morning, for example, before the sun rose up, He would pray. And there are other times He would be teaching and He would be talking to people and that all of a sudden He would talk to His Heavenly Father. Or maybe somebody would be passing Him and they would say, can you pray for me? And He prayed for them. It's both planned and unplanned prayer that gets us through a hard season. You know, great people in the Bible use prayer to get through a difficult season. They use prayer. King David, read about him. He's in the Psalms, and when he's going through a hard season, he begins to pray. And he begins to cry out and he begins to call upon God. And then God gives him victory. Another example is Jesus. We read about Jesus when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he was wrestling with going to the cross. It's just an amazing story. He was actually saying, if he was actually kind of reasoning with God. And the Bible said he's overwhelmingly sorrowful to the point of death. And what does he do? He falls to the ground and he prays. If Jesus used prayer, Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus who overcame sin in this earth and was perfect, with all his wisdom, if Jesus used prayer to get through a difficult time, how much more should we? Really? Seriously? If he had to do it, we should. And I tell you, more and more, I'm learning to do this. Oh, I just got an aha moment in my life one time. And more, I used to kind of like, you know, I'm going to soldier on. You know, I'm going to tough this out. I'm going to believe the word. And that's all good things. But now more and more, I'm saying, God, can you help me? God, I need your strength. God, I need your wisdom. In a difficult season, we need to draw towards God. In a difficult season, we need to draw towards God. Our motto should be Psalm 61, verse 2, which says, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock which is higher than I. When our heart is overwhelmed, we should go to the rock which is higher than us. So many times we go to other things. It's such a habit that needs to be broken. We go to the kitchen, the fridge. We go to this, we go to that. But the Bible says when your heart is overwhelmed, go to the rock that is higher than you, that is wiser than you, that is stronger than you. And there, in God, you will find stability. You will find strength. You will find hope. You will find joy. Things that will get us through the situations we are facing. When my heart is overwhelmed, don't go to that thing anymore. That will bring you down further. When your heart is overwhelmed, go to the rock. Get on your knees before God and worship Him and seek Him, and you will find Him, the Bible says. Woo! Ho, ho, ho. Now, a bit of explanation, because this could happen a little bit at the service as I'm preaching. If you read your Bible, it says when the Holy Spirit touched people, affected their bodies, they shook and they fell over. So that's what's happening. And often, sometimes I find when this happens, the anointing is building on me and the Word of God is going to come forth in power in Jesus' name. Woo! This started in the early 2000s, an encounter with God. When I get prayed for, I would never fall over, not that you need to, and I'd never shake or move. I was Paulette's rock. And then one day I had an encounter with God. I was just a mess all over the place. Even I'd lay hands on myself. I'd do it now, and I'd start to fall over. So that's explaining, because some of you are not used to this sort of thing. It's okay. It's God. It's called God. We want you better get ready, because it's going to come back again, all the manifestations, I tell you. And we've got to be wise with it, not be in the flesh like we were in the past. But it's coming back again. Manifestations, signs and wonders. Sometimes people debate, you know, are we in a move or we're not in a move? I tell you, we'll know when we're in a move, when we've come into a move of God. We'll know when we've come into the next season. There will be no debate. The churches will be in an uproar. The world will know that something is happening in the house of God. Yee-hee, that's right. Woo, Shaka Mahanda. She's got it. Woo. Let me declare this to you this morning, and some people here need to hear this. A difficult season is not the time to draw back from God. A difficult season is not the time to draw back to God from God. A difficult season is not the time to give up. This is not the time to give up, my friend. This is not the time to throw in the towel, because we are so close to the next move and the next season of God. I can smell it. I can taste it. I can feel it. It's close. It's near. This is not the time to give up. Satan would love to create a wedge between you and God. He they'd love to get you offended at God because it hasn't gone quite like you thought it should, but yet he knows better. Satan would like to cause you to get into some kind of sin, to disconnect you from the vine, which is your strength, your source of strength and life. My friend, somebody needs to hear this today. A difficult season is not the time to draw back. It's a time to draw towards God like you never had before. And so often we do the opposite. We draw back. We draw back into sin. We draw back into this. We draw back into the fridge, whatever it might be. We draw back. But the Bible says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. You know, I did a sermon once about crisis, and a crisis can make you or break you. A crisis can take you away from God, or it can take you to God. If you're in a crisis at the moment, let that bring you to God. And there you will find help, and there you will find victory. I love Psalm 91. The whole psalm is an awesome one. Psalm 91, verse 1 and 2. The scriptures won't come up probably, but that's fine. I haven't asked for them. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Isn't that powerful? He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. When we dwell under the shadow of the Most High, he will be your refuge and he will be your fortress. In him you can trust. Somebody needs to hear that today. You need to trust God. Trust in what he's doing. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. When we're in a difficult season, we need to come to the throne of grace, and there we will find mercy and grace and help. Isn't that awesome? Isn't it awesome that, I think it's so awesome that God actually cares so much about us. He could just say, oh, forget it. What are you coming to me with your problems for? I'm tired of this. No, it's just awesome, isn't it? He cares, he loves us, and he invites us to come to him. Number two, are you going to like this? You're going to like all this. I'm not giving you an easy way through the difficult season. Number two is patience. Did you hear about the man who prayed for patience? Lord, give me patience and give it to me quickly. Nah, wrong. It's not how it works with God. We are not a microwave faith. We are not a microwave people. We are not a microwave church. We are an oven people. We let that cook away and marinate. That's what the Bible talks about. Psalm 40, verse 1 to 3, we'll read this. Psalm 40, verse 1 to 3. David says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of the horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth. God's going to put a new song in our mouths. Praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. King David went through a hard season. He called it a horrible pit, a miry clay. But as he waited patiently, God brought him into a great season. David declared, he has put a new song in my mouth. Hebrews 6, verse 15 says, and so after he, Abraham, had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Abraham went through many hard seasons. But as he waited patiently, God brought him into a great season of fulfilled promises. So we see from these verses that patience is needed to get through a difficult season into a great season. We're not talking about the patience that you have at the red light. Actually, I'm not that so bothered about the red light. You know what I'm really bothered about the lights? Is when the red light turns green and people are so slow to move. And it turns red again and again. It's like, I've got a patience problem here. God, help me. No, don't help me, God. And I'm like, you know, it's like, move, people. I feel like shouting out with my preaching voice and say, the Lord says, move, hurry. Man, when I'm at the front of that line, I'm safe, but I'm not slow. I'm boom, right off. No, we're not talking about that kind of patience. We're not talking about the kind of patience where you have with somebody who's irritating you, a person that's irritating. No, we're talking here about the kind of patience that will make months and even years for God to change a season. I'm sorry, that's how it is. I don't like it. I'm sorry, I didn't write the book. But that's how God's designed it. If you want to do great things, you have to have that kind of patience. And some of these qualities here, if you can apply these qualities I'm talking about here this morning, I tell you, they will reap powerful results. They're powerful. They might not look all wonderful and flashy, but I tell you, they have substance. And if we apply them to our lives, that's how you do the great things in God. That's how all the men of faith and all the women of faith in Hebrews did great things and saw great things, because they had a lasting, enduring patience that would not give up. We can't force a difficult season to end. I'm sorry. If it's not of God a season, you can force it. If it's the enemy or somebody else or you, yeah, you get out of that season. And maybe you could speed a season up by the way you respond, I don't know. But we cannot force a difficult season to end. We can pray. We can fast. Phil, you could do a 40-day fast. And all that I've seen happen with people like that who are trying to force an end to a season is they just got skinny. We can declare scriptures. We can threaten God. We're going to quit. Oh, he must laugh at us. God, I quit. Oh, you'll be back. He's not manipulated. We can have a little pity party. You know, the best pity parties, you know, are the ones that you have all by myself, all by myself. I'm all by myself. But it will make no difference. God will not be manipulated. He will not be coerced. Because when God has set a time for a season to end, there is nothing we can do to change it. We simply have to be patient and go through the process. Sorry. There's a process. We'll talk about that in a minute. There's a process that God has to take us through. If we bypass that and force the season to end, you and I would not be ready for the next season and for what God has for us in the next season. What God is doing in our hearts and in the church around the world is all about preparation for the next season. If we bypass it or rush it or go around it, we'll miss out on what God is wanting to do in our hearts in preparation for the next season. And we will not be doing well in that season, and it will not go well. But let me encourage you with this. Every season has an end. Hallelujah! I thought that'd be good news. I thought I'd hear a shout. When I was preparing this, I imagined you all, yeah! We do that as preachers, don't we? And then we preach and it's like, oh, what happened? So I try it again. Every season has an end. Woo! you know, I like it, even though I know I've kind of forced it, I still like it. Let's do it again. Every season has an end. Oh, man, every preacher's dream. Woo. You see, we see in the natural, we're coming into winter. You wouldn't believe it today, 21 degrees, but we're coming into winter. Some people actually really like winter. How many people like winter? A lot of you do. It's not my favorite season. But you see, winter comes, and when we get to September, winter will end. Hallelujah! I can feel your pain. It'll end. And the flowers will start to bud. It's my favorite season. The leaves will start to grow on those bare trees. The days will get longer and warmer. And did you know that the birds will chirp more in spring than winter? Did you know that? How many people knew that? I actually, because I sat thinking about this, and I thought, is that right? And I Googled it, and it's true. And I'm not going to go into the detail why it is, and don't Google it now, but there is a reason why the birds chirp more in spring. But you know, it's the natural, in the natural, the seasons have a beginning and they have an end. And so it's same it is in the spiritual. And I declare to you, this difficult season you are going through will end. It has an end. The biggest lie of the devil, I've recognized it, is what we're going through is permanent. I recognize that lie from Satan. Now I catch him on that. He says, it's never going to end. Isn't he such a pessimistic? Isn't he such a loser? What a negative creature he is. What a creature that's full of lies. Every attack of Satan is a lie. It's based on a lie. No, this difficult season you're going through will end. Galatians 6 says, in due season we shall reap. There is a time, a due time, a set season, when a hard season will end and a good season of reaping will begin. Psalms 30 verse 4 says, weeping endures for a night, but joy arrives in the morning. Weeping may endure for a night, but you bet your bottom dollar that joy is going to arrive in the morning. God has set a time when your difficult season will end and your great season will begin. You just have to be patient. Just hang on. Just wait. Just go through the process, because you're going through something, but you're going to come out the other end. Ooh. Weeping may endure for the night. Weeping may endure for the night. You may be experiencing weeping and grief today, but I declare to you today that your weeping will come to an end, and a new season of joy will begin. Because of the joy of God, the joy of the Lord, and because what He will be doing in your life. I feel I need to declare that to somebody today. Your weeping will end, because sometimes it gets to the place, will I ever stop crying? Will I ever stop weeping? Will I ever stop being sad? God's word says, you will stop. You will come through. Joy comes in the morning. If we sow in tear, we're going to reap in what? Joy. I'm looking forward. I've sown some real tears of weeping and tears and tears. I tell you something else. I tell you, but I'm looking forward to, reaping and coming into a great season of joy in the Lord. The Church of Jesus Christ, I believe, one of the characteristics in the next move that's coming and is not that long away, is that the churches around the nation, around the earth, are going to be filled with great joy, filled with great triumph. Maybe I should try that again. the church of Jesus Christ in the nation and around the world very soon is going to be filled with a great joy they've never had before. Yeah. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy is coming in the morning. This is not forever. It will change. It will change. Number three, I've got 4 points. I don't know if I mentioned that to you. I'm going to have a quick drink of water. Turn to somebody and say something. No, it's okay. Number three, process. I'm sorry. Process. Patience. Process. 1 Chronicles 12 verse 32. 1 Chronicles 12 verse 32 says, from Issachar, men who understood the times and knew what Israel should do with all their relatives under their command. You see, the men of Issachar were descendants of Issachar, who was the son of Jacob, and they assisted David, and they were instrumental, played an instrumental part in helping Saul being removed and David being established as a king. But what was unique about these men are so cool, is they knew the times. They understood the times of the season they were in, and they knew what they should do in those seasons. Now, I'm going to come back to this scripture a little bit later, but I want to share about a very difficult season I went through. I have some tissues. Do you want some tissues? You want a tissue? Yes, you're going to need this. You're really going to need this. Yeah, this is a sad story. This man, if you want a powerful testimony, you talk to this man. You talk to that man, I tell you. But you know, it started, my difficult season started in March 2020. Does that ring a bell, that date? March 2020. And, you know, for me, it wouldn't have been such a big deal, but the borders shut and planes stopped flying, and my heart and vision is go to the nations, and some significant doors were starting to open, and the borders were shut, and it's like, I don't know when this is going to change. It was a real death to my vision, which is the work of God. And then in 2022, I felt to leave a business I was a part of, and for almost 3 years, I was searching for a new business because I wanted a business, not instead of a job, so I had flexibility to travel. But did you get that? For almost 3 years, I was looking for a business. That's a long time. And while I was looking for a business, I was constantly looking for work to pay the bills. Man, that was a faith thing. That was a trust thing. I had to constantly find work. It was just constantly doing that for 3 years. Did you hear me? I said 3 years. That's thank you. Do you want a tissue? And so I signed up for a lot of temp jobs. And so I did some forklifting. I had experience in that. I did some forklifting. I did some picking. I swept floors. I was in one place where, I kid you not, for 3 hours a day, I spent sweeping the warehouse and cleaning, singing to the Lord wonderful melodies. I filled shelves for the chemist warehouse. Talk about tears. That was one of the most boring jobs I did. And I delivered food. So I would go to a restaurant, pick up the food, McDonald's, say, and deliver it to a house. I did over 5,000 deliveries. That's a lot. Over 3 years, a lot. But get this, I got paid around $15 an hour. Shocking, really. Now, I'm happy. I'm happy to do little things. I'm happy to serve. But what particularly was hard for me is I have decades of answer your phone, man. Could be God. Say hi for me. What was particularly hard for me was I had decades of experience in work, in business, and ministry. I have a great vision to go to the nations and see God move powerfully together with my wife. And here I am, sweeping the floors, packing shelves, and delivering food for $15 an hour. But it's okay. God was doing a work in me. Because if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, learn to be the servant of them all. The way up is down. That's what that book's about, Elevation. That you want to go up? You want to have a big ministry? Ha, ha, ha. Get ready to go down, 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 down. The men of Issachar knew what season they were in. And during my hard season, I needed to ask myself, what season was I in? And there's no doubt about it, it was a season of breaking. And I'll tell you what a season of breaking is because I believe that people here are in this place right now. You are in a season of breaking. It's where God allows situations such as a difficult job, a hurtful relationship, or a crisis to break things like pride, stubbornness, unteachableness, and self-sufficiency, and replace them with things like humility, submission, teachability, and servanthood. Throughout this process, tears and weeping are common. It's in this season of breaking that God develops in us the character that is needed for the season of blessing. God is allowing you to go through a season of breaking because He's preparing you for seasons of blessing, because there are great blessings that come out of a season of breaking. I'll give you them to you quickly. Advancement in your calling and vision. I need some excitement this morning. Advancement in your vision and calling. Now, if you don't shout hallelujah for this one, there is something terribly wrong with you. Financial prosperity. Increase in the anointing. Moves of God. Because brokenness is a key to move of God. That's what happened with the disciples. They were broken when Jesus was broken on the cross. And then Acts, the book of Acts came, and there was a sound from heaven. Encounters with God, new guidance, and relationships that take us to a new level. Those are some of the blessings. If you're in a season of brokenness, that is some of the blessings that you can look forward to. Blessings upon blessings, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. The men of Issachar not only knew what season they were in, but what they should be doing in that season. So they knew what season they were in, but they also knew what they should be doing in that season. So during my hard season, I needed to ask myself, what should I be doing in the season? There was a few things: trusting God, perseverance, not giving up. A very important one was surrendering to the work of God in my heart. Here we get to the point where I want to talk about you this morning. If you are in a difficult season, there are three questions you need to ask yourself. Can I suggest to you? and do it before God. Number one, we've already mentioned them. Number one, what season am I in? That's a good question to ask yourself. What season am I in? Number two, what should I be doing in this season? If you're in a seeking season, what should you be doing? You're very bright. Very smart people, Kent. I'm surprised. If you're in a building season, what should you be doing? Building. Some of you just failed. If you are in a season where God is working on your marriage, what should you be doing? What you should be doing is you should be going by the house of Stan Beal. And he don't mind if it's 2 in the morning or 3. He'll answer the door. You're welcome, Stan. And if he's not available, there's always the Walkers. They'll be happy. Yeah, I know that. I wasn't going to say that. But he's probably watching online, though. Yeah, that's right. So see the Walkers instead. Sorry, guys. But here's the important question. One, what am I doing this season? What season am I in? Two, what should I be doing that season? Number three, this is the one I believe that God wants to talk to people about. Am I doing what I should be doing in this season? Ah, that's an important question you should ask yourself. Am I doing what I should be doing in this season? Because I feel for some, the answer is no. And God is urging you to say yes to his process as he desires to use it to prepare you for a great season ahead. God is urging you to say yes. If you've been saying no, say yes to his process as he desires to use it to prepare you for a great season ahead. And lastly, number four, perseverance. And I'm only just going to briefly make mention of this. Perseverance. Perseverance is basically to not give up, to not quit. Galatians 6 verse 7 says, and let us not grow weary while doing good. When do we grow weary? When we're doing good and we're not seeing the results. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. According to this verse, we need perseverance to get us through a hard season and into a great season. I don't have time to get into Job, but James chapter 5 verse 11 says, have you heard of the perseverance of Job? Is that something God is going to say about you as you go through your hard season? Have you heard of the perseverance of John? Have you heard of the perseverance of Phil or Sally? And God's word to some people today is, do not grow weary in doing good. I know you've been plowing long and hard. I know you've been doing so many and you haven't been seeing the results. But God says, don't grow weary in doing good. Because in due season, in the next season we're coming into, you shall reap. There's a condition. If you do not lose heart. And God is saying to some people here today, don't give up. Don't quit. Whether it's your faith, whether it's something, your call, whether it's your marriage and you're meant to stay together, God's saying, don't lose heart. Don't lose heart, my child. Don't give up. Don't give up. Persevere. Persevere. Keep going. Keep going. Because there's something awesome on the other side. Hey, let's stand to our feet. If I could please have the worship team come up. How to get through a difficult season and into a great season. Thank you, Jesus. In a minute, I want to pray for some people. But first, Heather is going to talk to people here about Jesus.
Okay, 2 Corinthians 6:2 says that today is the day of salvation. I had a sense that somebody's come here today literally to give their heart to Jesus. This is yesterday when I was pondering after Mark asked me. So if you've come in the building this morning specifically to get right with God, can you start walking up the front while I'm talking, please? This is your moment. This is your day. Don't let shame hold you back. Don't let fear hold you back. That's just, none of that really matters. Jesus hung on a cross, beaten, mocked, spat on. His beard was ripped out. He did all of that for us. He's paid the price in full for our sin. And John 3:16 says that whosoever believes in him shall be saved. So there's a ton of whosoevers in the room. I am a whosoever that fell on my knees over 40 years ago in a traumatic situation and met Jesus. Yes, I had to come from the back of the church and I had to come right up to the front of the church. Everyone was looking at me. I was snot. I promise you, I was snot everywhere. And there is a piece of carpet at the Leicester New Life Church with my name on it. And that is the best day of my life. So if that's you today, please don't let the shame of your sin hold you in your seat. Would you please come forward now, because I want to pray for you. Because I really felt that today is the day of your salvation. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Don't hold back. I'm just going to wait a little bit longer. But today is not a day to hold back. And we've just heard what Mark's been talking about. And maybe you're in a difficult situation and you're going like, is my life ever going to change? I lost everything. I'd lost everything. And my mum took me to church. And I gave it all to God. And he took all my pain, all my trauma, all my addiction, every disaster that I'd ever been part of. He took the whole lot and he turned it round. And honestly, I'm one of the happiest people I know. If you knew me before, that's a miracle. So if that's you, please come. Please come. I'm going to count to three. One, just start walking if that's you. Don't wait for another day. You don't know how many days you've got. Two, three. All right, can we turn around to the camera? We're going to pray for people online, please. All right, if this is you online, just follow my prayer, please. Jesus, can we all pray it? Jesus, I come to you today, and I need to make a great exchange. I'm giving you my mess, my drama, my sin. And I repent for my sin. And I declare that Jesus, you are surely the Son of God. Come into my life. I give every part of it to you. And I ask that you would come and make something beautiful out of my life. I give it all to you. And I thank you for what you did on the cross. You paid the price in full. and I receive your free gift of salvation right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Heather. Thank you, Jesus. We've just got a few minutes left. I know some of you, I know what it's like. You're ready for your fix. I know what that's like. But I believe there are people here that God is really encountering. I believe today it's been a word, a very important word for them. And just as we come to a conclusion, your loving Heavenly Father wants to touch you now where you are. And if you say to me, Mark, that was God's word for me. I'm going through a difficult season. I want to just pray for you, just where you are, where you're seated. We're not gonna ask people to come up the front. But can you just raise your hand and just hold it fairly high so I can just see and hold it? Now, thank you. Just keep your hands up. If you don't mind, you can put it down a little bit if it's too hard to keep it up, but keep it up. And can I just say, for people, if you're around, particularly if you know this person, can you just go to them and just put your hands on them? And let's just keep your hands up if you want prayer. Please keep those hands up high so people can see it. And just move around, particularly the prayer team, any elders that are here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, just touch them today. Give them strength. Give them courage. Heal their heart if it's been wounded, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Touch them today, Lord. Touch them today, Lord. Father, give them that strength, God, to persevere and not give up. Because that's where it comes from. It comes from you. It comes from God. Come on, Christians, pray over them. Pray over them. Pray over them in tongues. Thank you, Jesus. Let a spirit of intercession begin to flow. A spirit of breakthrough, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for giving them a breakthrough. Thank you, Lord, that there may be people here who want to quit, but today they will not quit. Today they will change their mind. Today they'll have the strength and the energy to keep going. The people here are discouraged. They will be encouraged. The people here have a cloak of depression upon them, but in Jesus' name, fill their heart with a fresh joy in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, He's moving in our midst. Worship You. I hear You within. You, I worship You, are here, moving in the midst. I worship You, are here. Does that word mean anything to you about a difficult season? Does that mean anything to you about going through a difficult season? Yes, light in the darkness. That is who He is, our God. Baker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, our God, that is who you are.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, our God,
that is who you are.
You are here.
You are here, moving in the inside. I worship you. I worship Thank you, Jesus. He's the way maker. He'll make a way where there seems to be no way. He'll find a way through where there doesn't seem to be a way. Go forth from this place with that word ringing in your heart. God is your way maker. He is your way maker. He's a God of to do the possible in the impossible. He's a God that will make a through way through your difficult situation. Can we give Jesus a shout of praise? Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you. We lift up your name. We glorify you. Woo! Man, I could keep on going. I could keep on worshiping. But some of you, you know, you just have to get that coffee fix. For the Bible says that you shall not live by bread alone, but at least 3 cups of coffee a day. That's Mark Collins' translation. Hey, go in the wonderful presence of God. Be blessed. Be touched. Say hi to somebody. Love somebody. Hug them. Pray for them. Say something kind to our family members. And have a great summer day. 21 degrees.